Good morning.
Morning.
This truly is a blessing to be here this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him.
Amen.
Serving is the word that I'll attempt to shed a little light on this morning.
Right.
It's a simple yet meaningful word.
Amen.
Up Calvary's way went my Savior one day.
Uh-huh.
With a heart that was breaking in two.
Mm.
Crown of thorns he wore.
Man.
A heavy cross he bore.
Well.
It was all for me. And for you.
Yeah.
On that hill far away, Christ suffered and died for you and I, that we may have eternal life. But before he died, he lived the life of a servant.
Man.
Don't miss this.
Yeah.
The King of Kings,
yeah.
The Lord of Lords,
yeah.
Lived the life of a servant.
That's it.
He could have lived any way he wanted to, but he willingly made himself to be a man and chose to live the life of a servant.
Man.
Paul informs the Philippian church of this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says that Christ was made in the likeness of men. And in that same verse, it also says he took upon him the form of a servant. He became what we are physically to show us how we ought to be spiritually. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That's the physical. That's the physical. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. That's the spiritual. He became what we are physically to show us how we ought to be spiritually. So when looking at the word servant, it became quite clear to me that to really get an understanding of what this word means, we have to look at Christ. We cannot forget him. There's no way that we can overlook him. He is the epitome of what it means to be a servant. He's a living, breathing, spiritual being that teaches us what it means to be a servant. It exemplifies in words and thoughts and actions exactly what it means to be a servant. This produces an attitude that requires certain actions. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about the spirit of a Christian.
Right.
I'm talking about what we do,
right.
What we say,
right.
And why we do what we do. Our lives should exemplify the spiritual nature of Christ.
Amen.
Obviously, time is not going to permit us to fully exhaust this word servant. But for the next few moments, let's take a look at a couple of points and just try to capture what the essence and the purposefulness of being a servant is. Now, being a servant could possibly be the cornerstone of Christianity simply because the truthfulness of serving is just like love. It requires proof. Old folks used to say the proof is in the pudding. Sisters, if that brother's saying, I love you, he ought to be showing something. He should be proving that to you. This must be demonstrated. It requires more than just lip service. Jesus demonstrated the attributes of a servant with his whole life's presence. And it's one of the reasons Christ came to earth in the first place. Mark chapter 10, 45. So let's take a look at that Mark 10 passage right quick. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
And to give his life a ransom for many. The KJV says to minister. Minister carries the same meaning as serve in this context. Part of Christ's mission, part of his purpose for coming to earth, was not only to be the savior of the world, but to also show the world how to have a heart of a servant. Also, he showed what real love looks like, what forgiveness looks like, how to be humble. He set the example. He gave us the blueprint of being a servant. Now, the term servant is a very common biblical word. It was used in a variety of ways, with the most common type being used in the context of one being a slave. Even though the term slave has various degrees of meaning, it was used a lot to describe workers and servers who were of superior and inferior positions. In the Old Testament, servant took on the meaning of a worker and slave, and oftentimes it would be the person that was either indebted to or owned by someone else. We see this with the children of Israel when they were under the thumb of Pharaoh. Also, there were some Old Testament individuals who God endearingly referred to as my servants. The meaning here being used was of a person who was showing favorable obedience to God, such as Abraham and Moses, Jacob and Isaiah and David. These were those and others were servants of the Lord. Remember, the Lord said to Satan, where you been? Where you coming from? He said, I've been all over this earth walking back and forth. What did God tell him? God told him, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Church, Job was a man who was serious about serving God.
Amen.
Now, in the New Testament, one of the Greek words for servant gives us a meaning that's similar to Hebrew. And that word is doulos. Now, this word, too, means slave and servant. It usually belonged to someone without any rights, maybe also indebted or a bond slave. But depending on the context, it could also be used in the highest form of dignity, specifically for the believer who willingly lives under Christ's authority as one of his devoted followers. This is where we come in.
Well,
this is us right here. This is our part.
Right.
Every Christian, every born-again child of God ought to be, should want to be, and can be this type of servant.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, the Bible reads, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Here Paul shows a contrast of the lifestyle of a Christian. Now, when I studied this and I reflected on this verse, I didn't see myself so much as a slave. Because the sin I was doing was fun to me. Now, I'm not trying to glorify sin, but the sin I was doing was fun. I mean, it was fun to some of y'all. I know I wasn't the only one having fun. I wasn't the only one up in the club. I wasn't the only one in the hole in the wall. I wasn't the only one sipping and tipping. Some still sipping and tipping. But I'm going to leave that alone. Paul says, but God be thanked. I thank God I'm no longer that slave to sin. But I'm trying to live a life of being a slave to righteousness. Another New Testament word for serving is diakonos. Diakonos. This is the meaning to minister or serve. Diakonos to me is a very interesting word. This definition usually refers to the Lord inspiring his servants to carry out his plan for his people. Like the deacons serving in the local congregation in Acts chapter 6. Some scholars say the word means to raise up dust by moving in a hurry. Now, when you apply this analogy to being a servant, this servant is eager and enthusiastic, moving swiftly, kicking up dust, trying to serve. This is the person who comes to worship looking to serve. And he leaves the worship with his mind set on how can I serve others.
Amen.
In Lafayette on the mission trip, the church building where we were was about this big, y'all.
Yeah.
About this big, real small building. You walk in the door, three steps later, you're at these double doors. Above the double doors was a sign that said, enter to worship.
Amen.
On the opposite side, on your way out, is a sign that said, leave to serve. When I saw that, I understood that this church is a church that's rooted and grounded in serving others. And it was evident of that because when we canvassed that community, we talked to people. Those people knew that church on the corner. Those people there at that church, they're committed to serving. Servants also think differently. To be a servant, I have to have a mind of a servant's heart. Servanthood is a mental shift, a paradigm shift that changes my mind and my attitude towards Christianity. It seems to me that God would be more interested in why I'm doing something more so than the something that I'm doing. If I humble myself and put my focus on others and the bigger picture, then serving becomes automatic, almost natural. It becomes a way of life. This is what I do. I serve. It has nothing to do with whether or not anyone else does. Church, the Lord has much work for us to do, and to get it done, it was going to require a people with a mind to serve. Can't stay there, brother. Servants also submit to authority. This means that the order of how kingdom business is done is understood by the servant. God set it up that way. You ever heard the expression, too many chiefs? And not enough Indians?
Amen.
Well, somebody has to lead. And someone has to have a heart to follow.
Amen.
That's the only way kingdom business will get done.
Amen.
See, being a servant has more to do with an attitude than actually physically doing something. We're talking about what takes place in the heart of a man.
Amen.
Why do we do what we do? What is the reasoning or the motivation for my actions? If my intentions are to get recognition or accolades or some type of benefit out of serving, then in God's eyes, that service is in vain. Jesus called that type of heart hypocrisy throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Although we cannot earn our way, Christ does tell us we are to lay up treasures in heaven secretly. Repeatedly, he uses the phrase, the Father who sees in secret, the Father who sees in secret. And for those things that are done in secret, Jesus says the Father will reward us openly. Also, I want to make the point that servants have a main objective, and that's to do what the Master commands.
Amen.
In the last day, that glorious day, the day of judgment, we want to hear God say, well done.
Yes.
Well done what?
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant. That's Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and 23. At the end of those verses, he says, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Now, but what we don't want to hear is verse 26, where it says, thou wicked and slothful servant. And in verse 30, he calls those servants unprofitable. And then says, cast him into outer darkness. So we see a warning or admonishing from the Lord right here. But everyone is doing some type of serving, either God's will or some other, maybe my own, maybe Satan's, I don't know. The thing is, we cannot serve more than one master. I know that Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's true. But how many of us know it doesn't have to be money or God to be your master? Brother Gary preached an excellent sermon on that last Sunday. So let us not forget what's really important here. And that is to be servants of God's will. We sing the song, I Want to Be Ready to Meet Him. Now, I was going to sing right here, but my wife saved y'all. She saved y'all, believe me. I believe the one who will be ready is the one who is saved and serving. Now, I want to encourage us, you and me, to increase our spirit, our willingness, and our actions to serve. I know I can always do better. After all, serving is the least I can do, considering what has been done for me. Quick lesson. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and following, over there is a parable of the rich fool. This is interesting. This rich man, who after being blessed by God to amass great wealth and goods, looked back with a spirit of ungratefulness. He didn't have the attitude of a servant. And with the position that he was in, he could have served in many, many ways. But no, he chose not to serve others, but only himself. If you read the story, it's full of I's. I will build bigger barns. I have much goods. I will tell my soul, take it easy, chill out, you got it going on. Here's a man without a spirit of willingness or any actions to serve. Say, that's not a servant's attitude. A servant's attitude is selfless. Not thinking of oneself less, but thinking less of oneself and more of others and the kingdom of God's business. In verse 20, God told that rich man, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. This man may have been rich, but he was not rich towards God. You want to be rich towards God? Dedicate yourself to being a servant.
Amen.
That's my study on the word servant. Thank you so much for your attention.
Amen.
I pray that somebody has been blessed as much as my soul has been blessed. After a verse of a song, the next voice you hear will be Brother Gary Smith.
Amen.
Amen. You may have your worldly pleasures, your silver and your gold. You may peel up all your riches, and this old world can hold. But I'd rather have my Savior, with him I firmly stand. Oh, I want to be ready to meet him in the glory. You know I want to be ready to meet him by and by. You know I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. You know I want to be more like him and do his blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. Let the church say amen. And by the way, that's what we say when we hear the word preached, when we are rejoicing as the Lord's body. We don't clap to glorify men or women. Amen. We say the word amen, amen be, so be it. I agree with what, let the church say amen. Amen. Didn't Brother Reggie do a great job on dealing with the word servants? Servants, Lord have mercy. He humbled my soul and reminded me, Lord. I know we, that word slave has a negative connotation to us, many of us especially, but I gladly and proudly say that I am a slave for the Lord. Amen. And don't mind saying it. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Reggie. These words were not haphazardly selected. They were not haphazardly selected. Words of life, disciple, servant, my word, saints with an S, plural, because the Bible doesn't use it as a singular title for anybody. The word saint comes from a Greek word, hagios, means consecrated to God, means sacred, means pious. We have any saints in here this morning? Amen. Yeah. You need to know it's used plurally. It's a group of people who are dedicated, been consecrated, set apart by God. Listen to the Bible in Acts chapter 9. Verse 13, but Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. See, it's a group of people who are dedicated to God. That's like, you know, right now in our world we live in today, as things progress, as progress and as it wax worse and worse, there's some folk who don't like us being in here. And there are some places, many places in this world that you can go, that there are literally individuals who are, I was in a meeting in a workshop in Oklahoma last week, a church growth workshop, and the mission was a missionary talking about church growth. One guy had been all over the country and he'd been in Ukraine. And he said, literally in one of the places that they worship, the guards came in and told him, if you're here next Sunday, you will be arrested. And he said there were about 12 people in there worshiping where he was. And it was either Ukraine, I can't remember the exact place. And he said the very next Sunday, you know how many people were in that place? He said 200. I said, praise the Lord. I wonder would one of us, if they told us, came in here, walked in here and said, well, Gary, you can't worship here next Sunday. We shutting you down. Anybody that's found in this place worshiping God the way you worship God, you will be arrested and taken to jail. Next Sunday is today. How many would come back, or how many would stay at home? I know that's right. Will we have enough courage to worship God even in the eyes of those who would say we need to? I tell you what, y'all had to come visit me in jail because I'd be right in jail. Would I have some jailmates with me? Amen, somebody. Acts 9:32, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydia. Acts chapter 26, verse 10, Acts 26:10, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they had been they were being put to death, I cast my vote against Paul, speaking of himself as he was an enemy of the saints at one time. One instance in the New Testament that it uses the singular word saint, Philippians 4:21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. Notice it uses the singular word saint, but it has in view the plural group of saints. It's a plurality of saints. 67 times it's used saints. Saints is a group of people set apart for the Lord and his kingdom. And it's a word, listen now, it's a word that has meaning, and there's references, three references in the Bible as to the character of the saints. In other words, we sing the song when the saints go marching in. It's a happy song when the saints go marching in, but you can't be a saint unless you're dedicated to the cause of the saints. Listen to Romans chapter 16, verse 2. Romans 16:2. Of Phoebe. Some of you know of Phoebe, a female who probably carried this letter to the leaders of the church. Says that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Did you not know God wants us to especially to treat each other in a manner that's honorable, in a manner that we care one for another? We ought to not be willing to talk to a saint like we would some. We ought to have an endearing relationship with one another. You ever go to another city and you on your job and you working on a job and you all found out that this person that's been on your job working with you is a member of the Lord's body? Oh, you're a member of the church? Oh, you are. And that ought to make you happy that you have somebody who's dedicated to the cause of Christ like you are, that's working close to you, that lives like you, that talks like you. Says when you treat Phoebe, treat her like one of the saints. A question, do we treat each other like that? I hope we do. I know we do. Let's endear in turn. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. See, you want to be a saint, you need to be a worker. Brother Reggie just taught us that Jesus came here not to be served. Lord have mercy. I thank the Lord. I guess God knows me through and through. You know, you would think that Jesus would have took out a little time to say, y'all serve me for a moment. But nowhere in his life do you see that he was that type of individual that wanted people to cater unto him. And those of us that's in the Lord's body, when we are, you see the qualifications of the leaders in the church, deacons, elders, ministers, anybody that would minister, the qualifications is that they be service. A deacon, the word means servant, special servant of God. And any deacon, any man in this church right now, any man that aspires to be a deacon, but you just want to have your name in the bulletin, please don't even make it known that you're ready to be a deacon. Because what the Lord's church needs is some serving men and women who are willing to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And in order to be a saint, you become a saint in order to be a worker for the Lord. Amen. For the equipping of the saints for works of service. What kind of works, Brother Gary? Service is doing whatever needs to be done. Yeah, see, service don't ask a whole lot of questions. The only questions is, what do you need? Sometimes we need brothers to pack tables, to clean up, to help somebody. Brothers, so I thank the Lord for the service who bring water up here so the preachers can have some water. Brother Gary, that's not what I signed up for. Yeah, servants is visiting the sick and taking care of the needy. Servants is doing the Lord's work that glorifies his kingdom. Equipping of the saints. These are references to the word saints. Listen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians 5:3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Hello, somebody. Yeah, see, to the saints, he says, immorality. Saints ought to talk a certain way. And now we need to, you talking like everybody, you trying to put a guilt trip, I'm trying to put a guilt trip, I'm trying to describe to you what the Bible says the character of saints are. And he noticed, it said this is what's proper. You might not be there right now, but this is what we ought to be trying to grow to, amen, somebody. So it does make a difference how you treat people and what you say. It does make a difference what you are doing outside of presence in front of the saints. Lord have mercy, the presidential debate is on. It comes on today, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah, tonight. Boy, is it tonight? What time does it come on? Oh, well, better 8 o'clock. Okay, yeah, we'll be out for service. Somebody say, oh, what time it come on? But I think I want to see this one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think I want to see this one. Yeah, I watched part of the last one, last debate, and I think I want to see this one. A lot of things have been going on. Yeah. President of the United States, our leader of the greatest nation in the world, literally, the United States. I mean, you say great, it really is respected as the greatest nation. And I need to see one more time what they have to say. Not telling you anybody who to vote for. Question, I got a question. Do I have a question for you? Does it matter to you the moral character of the leader of the world? Does that matter? Yeah. It should matter. It should matter. The scriptures say of the saints, it says of the saints. And that's a whole nother issue. I just brought it to your attention, so because make sure you're not blind and that you, when you go down there and vote, you're just not punching nothing. You know what you're punching. But a question for the saints in here is, does it matter to us what we do when we're not here?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, morality matters with God.
Amen.
Yeah, you know. How you see, you know what's going to get us, a lot of us in trouble? Let me just say this. You see, those of us that's married, you know, man, husband, you need to watch the way you're treating your wife.
Amen.
What you're doing when you're with her, when you are without her, where you're speaking to her, the way you're talking to her, what you do with your body, what you do with your, it matters to God. If you are called a saint, it matters the way the sister, you know, see, who else could we say to a wife, listen, it matters that you are being rebellious to your husband. You can't hardly say that in the world to subject. You need to be subject to your husband. You need to. And see, it's not about bowing down to this man. But he's your husband. Then you have a responsibility to honor that man.
Amen. The Bible is right. Amen.
Notice this. We're talking about the saints, aren't we? Are the saints still gonna march in?
Yes.
It matters to God, how we treat our bodies, and it matters to God what we watch and what we do, and it matters to God. There is a proper way for the saints to act. Now, question, do we have some growing to do? Now, listen, I know you want the truth, and I know I don't like to hammer, but I know you want to know what God expects us of us, and you not got to know what you're reaching for. And so you won't become content and complacent in I've been cussing all my life, and that's just the way I was raised. Not for the saints. It's not proper. It says impurity. Then he uses the term greed. See, even, you know, we saints are not just filthy look. Saints are not craving for every dollar. And will do anything for the, you have some folks, man, it's all about that money. No, it's not all about the money with the saints. No, sometimes we sacrifice money in order to be a saint. Because we won't choose, we'll make a choice that something is righteous and holy so we can be a saint. And we'll be in a right relationship with God. The word sanctify and holy come from the same root Greek word. And it's translated saints. And Christians are called to live holy lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 was read in your hearing. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. To those who've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, that's us. Saints by calling. God calls us. He wants people, everybody in the world, to be on the saint. He wants us to be saints. And the term, I know you've heard this term used in different ways, and I'm not degrading anybody, but you know, the Roman Catholics, you call these individuals Saint John, Saint Peter, like it's a title, but it's not used that way in the Bible. Never is it a title to go in front of a man or a woman's name to distinguish them from anybody else. In Roman Catholics, the saints are, their theology, saints are in heaven. Biblical theology puts saints on the earth. See, in Roman Catholic teaching, the saint is not a saint unless they are canonized or by a pope or a bishop. In other words, this person appoints them to be to this charge of a saint. In the Bible, if you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, guess what? Now we can sing, I'm just the weary pilgrim. Some of you don't know this verse. Trodding through this world of sin, I'm getting ready for that city. Oh, in the saints, sing it with me. Marching in. Oh, in the saints, oh, in. Go marching in. Yeah. Oh, when the saints who marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints who marching in the Roman Catholic practice, the saints are revered. They're prayed to, and in some instances, they are even worshipped. We're talking about men who are worshipped. In the biblical teaching, saints are called to revere. Saints are called to pray. Saints are called to worship. And we worship God and God alone. We pray to God and God alone. We don't bow down to no man or woman on this earth. If you are a saint of God, amen. And today, if you are here this morning and you want to be a disciple, you want to be a servant, you want to be a saint, you want to be known by God. We want you to be a part of that number who are called Christians, disciples, followers of Christ, saints, servants of God. And you can by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you come to God by faith, believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're here this morning and you're willing to, you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Mark 16:16, Hebrews 11:6. If you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. If you repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, guess what? God will write your name in the Lamb's book of life. And you become a saint. Amen. Not by yourself, but a part of a body of Christ who have been called, sanctified, set apart to serve God until we die. Is there one? Is there two that want to be saints? If you have a prayer request, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Softly and tenderly,
Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See,